The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. I am so happy to have on the head investor relations at Horizon Multifamily, Mr. George Roberts. George, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Excellent, Cody. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I know you're incredibly busy coming back and doing a lot of different things. For those that maybe haven't heard about you, read up on you, give us a little bit about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started out through the accidental landlord path. So it was the depths of the Great Recession, a great time to buy a home, but not a great time to sell a home. And so my dad, who was always an entrepreneur, always in finance, he said, look, just keep it and become a landlord. Not something I'd ever thought of. My background is actually in bioscience. So I was busy working in laboratories all the time, did not have a financial background. But this got me in kind of, through the slow ramp. And so, you know, kept it for years. Thing wasn't worth much, due to the market at the time. And so it was just a great thing. So even though, you know, I didn't really run it like a business and fully understand what I was doing at the time, it was a great experience. And when we sold that, because we thought that maybe this neighborhood is not doing so good, you know, I just immediately recognized the hit to cash flow. And, you know, even though I had already, you know, I was like a cash flow quad and kind of die. And I know that, you know, it's all about that passive income, man, it really hit me. And I thought, you know, I got to get back in this game. So I got to educate myself and figure out how to get back in. So in the meantime, my sister says, you know what, we're going to start a construction company. We'd lost her father in 2015 and he'd always wanted to build homes and he had the plans written up and everything. And next thing you know, I'm in another entrepreneurial venture, so I didn't have to wait long. And so we're out there trying to build these homes. And anyway, we'll get into the deep story later. So I found myself in construction, and then next thing you know, she's running that business and I'm off to the side and I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, I want to get back into entrepreneurship. So what do I do? Well, all that education paid off because I said, look, I'm going to do it right this time. I'm not going into the single family. Single family is great. But you know what? Multifamily has all the aspects of single family, plus it has the benefit of economies of scale. So I said, this is where I'm going to find my place.
That's a cool background. I know a lot of our folks that have joined us in the past have come over from the single family side. They dip their toe in the water. They get a taste for that real estate and then move over to multifamily. And oftentimes it is that scale question, right? How do I scale this up? How do I get more of that passive income? Love hearing that kind of story. But I would imagine like most of our guests and what we like to talk about here, it wasn't always easy. There was probably some bumps and bruises, failures, challenges along the way. Would love to hear what comes to mind for you today and help and educate our audience.
Yeah. So I'll go right back to the single family stuff. So when I started this thing, I just wanted no muss, no fuss because I had my W-2 and my W-2 was many days. It was like a 12-hour working in the lab and, you know, maybe 2 hours of commuting. So I just, you know, we set the rent, we kept it there, had the same tenants literally for 7 years. And they were great people. You know, we went to their wedding. I send them anniversary messages still. But as you know, that's really not the way to run things as a business. So I was like just shocked that, you know, rents had gone up, you know, that much. And, but again, it turned out because of appreciation, it was a fair play. It helped me to stay in, but that was the first thing. But then there's all these things that I was naive about. Like for example, they seemed like really clean people and they were, but you know, when they moved out, you have no idea how much they left on my driveway. And I was shocked. There was everything, including a terrarium. And I'm trying to like, you know, hey, oh, you like this? Oh, you like reptiles? You can have this. Please take this off my hands. And, you know, not having a lot of money at the time, you know, I'm out there for 2 weeks just trying to put as much to the curb as I can without having to buy a dumpster. Yeah, that was really eye-opening. You know, the idea, being a landlord is great, but everybody tells me the same thing. You're going to get one tenant that's going to screw up everything, and then you're out of the business. And I thought, oh, no, that's not good, right? And so then obviously when I got back into it later on, you know, I got the education, it's like, No, don't deal with the tenant directly. Don't become friends with them. And, you know, have that layer in between. So when they say, I'm trying to think of a good one because there's been some really good ones lately. Like, what do you mean I don't get to pay on the 25th of the month? You know, it's like, sorry, buddy, it's first of the month or, you know, you're going to get a late fee.
Right. Well, so I would imagine there's some folks out there that maybe either in your shoes where you were then or looking to get into that type of real estate. For those that are maybe, and what I'm gathering is you're talking about having some sort of property manager or at least some sort of go-between you as a landlord and the tenant, that if they're looking at something like that, I would imagine there's a cost involved or some sort of cost involved to doing that. Why would you tell somebody now that is a benefit, even though it may actually be a cost and eat into a little bit of their profit?
Right. So I think it all depends on what you're looking for. So most people who end up being successful in real estate, they're probably doing something rather successful now. They might be business leaders. They might be highly paid in IT or maybe from some other walk of life. But you get out there into the real estate world and now it's all of a sudden like, oh, you can do this in the evenings and weekends. But if you want to make money at it, before you know it, your evenings and weekends are full. And that's what I found with the single family space, is that if I was going to get back into it like that, I mean, I meet all kinds of people. I go to the conferences. Hey, I became a millionaire in real estate. But guess what? They all had to quit their job. And talking about cash flow and talking about getting the property manager and doing things in a more professional way. Well, if you have a single family home, a lot of people find, and I find too, that it's very, very difficult to pay somebody and still make money at it. I mean, I talked to one landlord. I say, look, you don't use leverage at all. No, I don't. I own all my homes outright. Because if I don't, I'm making $200 a month. And I'm still, you know, even if I got a property manager, I'm still managing it because I got to check up on them. Like, am I going to keep track of all those threads for $200 a month? And so then you have that issue. Like, without the economies of scale, I feel like you really do end up having to manage it yourself. And then you have to give up. On the one hand, you probably got a golden job on one hand. And then on the other, you have this potentially even greater future. You know, how are you gonna manage the two? Something's got to give.
Yeah. And I find that a lot of the folks that we've talked to, and I would imagine some are out there today listening, that they have to make that choice. And there's going to come a time where they have to make the choice. Do they go all in on real estate or continue with the W-2 and that path that they've chosen previously? And who knows what's right for each person? That's up for you and your family and everyone attached to you to go through. But your point is spot on, that it truly is hard to scale when you're trying to do something on the weekends and nights, but it's so active when you're having to manage either a tenant or the go-between you and the tenant as well. It just takes up too much time, and time is money and time is valuable. However you want to measure it, it just takes up time. And that's the one thing we're not getting anything back from.
Time is the one thing you never get back.
So in your experience in the single family home space, I know you've made the switch and you're all in on the multifamily side, but thinking back through your experience in single family, what was maybe outside of dealing with a tenant, some of the biggest challenges you faced on the single family side?
Okay, yeah. So I think that would be a great question, because to be quite honest, there was literally no trouble with our tenant, right? We had a low rent. We kept it. I would say we started with like a roughly market rent, kept it low. So they were perfect. I really didn't have any trouble. Like, literally my only problem was mindset of realizing how to get that return on investment, realizing that you can't become buddies and, you know, you can't make exceptions and all that. But they were great. I mean, they paid on time. It's just that would have never scaled. And I got towards the end of it where we're getting ready to sell. And I keep hearing the stories. Every landlord I talk to, it's like, oh yeah, I did that for a while. That was really good. And then I got one tenant that ruined everything. And I'm thinking, my God, how do I avoid that? And you know, but if you got 10 or 20 or 50 units, it makes things a lot different, right? At that point, you got the professional management. And you know, you are going to find some people who will wreck things, but it's not like they wrecked your whole asset.
Right. Especially if you're at that kind of scale. That's 1/10, 1/15 of your portfolio, and you could leverage your management solution, your management person or management company to help out with that situation. Maybe find that tenant a new location or get them out of your property into a different property that would be better suited for them while still being able to maintain positive cash flow and that sort of thing. But how does somebody go from one location like that into multiple and helping scale that from an economy of scale standpoint? What's that leap and how do folks make that?
So I never really did that. So I had one single. And like I said, I didn't really handle like an investment. Then I went to construction. And then, you know, I ended up with another single family home. And, you know, for me, it was never really more than two at one time. So I didn't really get into it that big. It was really more getting in construction. When I got into construction, I was just literally bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. You know, I finally saw myself as something other than, you know, the tech guy. I spent my whole life publishing research articles in academia, writing code. And I just realized, you know, there's something to that. And that was really the impetus. At that point, I thought, I'm getting back into real estate. I'm doing it right this time. And so then, you know, I did what everybody does in multifamily, right? First thing to do is build a team. So I found the right group of guys, people with all kinds of experience. We got one guy who's got over $30 million of assets under management. We got some other people who've got their own apartments. And then, you know, we had us, you know, the three of us that had not yet owned an apartment, although two of us had a lot of construction background. And so then we went in a joint venture last year in Orlando. And well, let's see. So I talked about building the team, but maybe even just back up another step. Okay. You're going to have to build your team, but you also have to pick a market, right? So a lot of people find, you know, hey, I'm getting into multifamily. I'm just going to pick what works, or even worse, they'll say, hey, I like commercial real estate. Commercial real estate is great. Hey, you know, I'll take a multifamily, or hey, maybe you've got some self-storage. If the deal works, I'll do it. And that's what I've heard is you either pick, at least pick a market, or at least pick a type of commercial real estate. And I did both. And after we did that, we focused on Orlando and it got a lot easier, right? If you're trying to underwrite a deal and say, hey, does this deal work or not? It's not like the single family home, right? It's really easy to wrap your brain around that because you've probably been living in a single family home for quite some time before you become a landlord. But when you get the apartment and everything is different, right? It's like, what could I do with this? You know, if I renovate it, you know, truly what sort of rents am I going to get? And, you know, can we put a dog park here? Is there enough room? Can I get somebody to put a cell phone tower up here? All of a sudden there's all these variables, all these moving pieces. And it's just, it's that much harder to wrap your brain about. But once you focus on, and I know that most of your viewers are like, oh no, I got my background. You won't be able to see it, but I've got Orlando all over my house here. I'm in Southeast Michigan. I've got maps all over the place that sort of tie me in, but that's what you need to do. Pick that market, get your team together, and then you can go out there and you can make credible offers.
I love that. That's one of the reoccurring themes that we hear often is focus. Focus on your market, focus on your asset class. Have that kind of laser focus on what you want to accomplish, where you're going to accomplish it at. That way, you're not casting a wide net, not catching anything. You're able to really hone in on exactly what you need and look for. So, George, I think that's as good enough of a place as ever to wrap up. I truly appreciate the time, the knowledge and the experience you brought today for myself and the audience listening there at home. For those that maybe want to follow up with you, connect with you, maybe even talk with you about Horizon Multifamily, where's the best place people can find you and connect with you?
Absolutely. Come find my profile on LinkedIn, connect, send a message. You can go to horizonmultifamily.com. You can sign up to be on our investor base and we'll send you our future deals. You get on our email list, et cetera. And I would just absolutely love, whether you're ready to be either a active or passive investor in multifamily, or maybe you're just thinking about making the jump, by all means, reach out. I love to talk to people.
Perfect. George, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.